Welcome to Alex Asks, a podcast series determined to bring to light the inequities within the music industry and discuss ways we can do better. Each episode, we'll take a look at an artist that experienced injustice within the industry. What happened, why it happened, how we reacted, how it all went down. I'm Alex, your host. Thank you so much for being here. I hope y'all took a moment to listen to some Rihanna tracks after episode 2. Every time I listen to Rihanna, I'm so grateful she exists and so happy to have her music, but also so frustrated that it's been over 4 years since the last album. Today, Alex asks, what happened with Taylor Swift? Gosh, this one is positively loaded, and I've been so excited to cover Taylor Swift's story. Maybe y'all know a little bit about Miss Swift. Taylor Swift is a 10-time Grammy Award winner, Diamond Certified Recording Artist, and the most awarded artist at the American Music Awards in history. In addition to this, Swift has earned an Emmy, been one of Time's most influential people for multiple years running, and was named Woman of the Decade at 2019's Billboard Music Awards. She is the definition of a household name and is considered one of the most talented songwriters both of this generation and of all time. Her music, propelled by her passionate and often very personal storytelling, has reached and touched millions of people worldwide, and her influence and impact is incalculable. Her squeaky clean image as a rising country music singer-songwriter transitioned into a more grown-up, hybrid, pop country sound before she fully dove into pop music in 2014 with her smash album 1989. The 1989 era shortly became her most successful era yet. Coincidentally, this era is also when Taylor Swift's squeaky clean image started to crack. But first, a lot of history. As Taylor Swift was rising to fame and broke onto the mainstream scene with her smash second album Fearless, the exposure brought with it negative controversy. Upon receiving the MTV Video Music Award for Best Female Video at the 2009 VMA Awards, Swift was interrupted by rapper Kanye West, who took the microphone from her, stated that he'd let her finish, and then explained that he felt another nominee, Beyoncé, should have won the award. Beyoncé's episode 5, by the way. Beyoncé was embarrassed, Swift was speechless, and the media and the general public absolutely ran with it. Then President Barack Obama even chimed in, stating that Kanye West was a total jackass. According to Rolling Stone, Taylor Swift was consequently thrust in the center of the media spotlight and the public's watchful eyes at 19 years old. And because of Taylor's honest writing style and because the content of her writing was mainly centered around relationships, romance, and breakups, many in both the media and the public began to perceive her as quote-unquote boy crazy. Much was written about the men she would be spotted with, even if nothing was officially known about their relationship status, which is none of our business anyways. This became an easy way for the general public to diminish her status as a mainstream music fixture, worthy of taking up the space she was in, and focusing instead on what they perceived was quote-unquote weak or whiny. Her music, once quietly appreciated by devoted pockets of fans, had now become a place for analysis, intended to pick apart Swift's words. This became a trend in Taylor Swift's career, and it still continues today. But starting in 2013, fresh off of Swift's then most successful album Red, in which she dipped her toes the furthest into pop music to date, Swift began to push back. When asked if she was boy crazy in a Vanity Fair interview in 2013, Swift replied, "For a female to write about her feelings and then be portrayed as some clingy, insane, desperate girlfriend in need of making you marry her and have kids with her, I think that's taking something that potentially should be celebrated, a woman writing about her feelings in a confessional way. That's taking it and turning it and twisting it into something that is frankly a little sexist." Swift began to speak out against her detractors by introducing sexism and feminism to her lexicon, something she had initially not associated herself with. This propelled and pushed her into the following year, which took everything up to this point in Swift's career to the next level. In 2014, Taylor Swift released her album 1989, which somehow surpassed the success of her previous album Red and saw her transitioning fully to pop music. And where the world thought Taylor couldn't become more famous, she did. The era of 1989 lasted for what felt like forever. ever, and that's from my own personal experience. She strategically released that album just after the Grammy eligibility cutoff date for the 2015 ceremony, which allowed the album to churn out hit single after hit single, music video after music video, and the public and media had never been so watchful of Swift ever before. Swift became more active on social media, further cultivating this top-tier celebrity status, and befriended a plethora of famous friends. And in 2015, Taylor Swift and Kanye West were photographed hugging and apparently on good terms at that year's Grammy Awards, seemingly having buried the hatchet and moved on. Later, in August of 2015, Swift even presented the Video Music Award Vanguard Award to Kanye West, coming full circle and officially closing a chapter of negativity for the two artists. After all, it had been 5 years. Each had moved on. Right? So, in February of 2016, Kanye West released a single in support of his upcoming album called Famous. Within West's first three lines in the song, he states, "I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that famous." The lines were met with immediate public and media backlash, as the line features a very clear misogynistic message about ownership, consent, and female success. Swift, via her representatives, stated she did not know of the lyric prior to its release and was hurt and confused as to why Kanye would say that. Then, in her acceptance speech for 1989's Album of the Year win at the 2016 Grammys, Taylor addressed the controversy by saying,
"I want to say to all the young women out there, there are going to be people along the way who will try to undercut your success or take credit for your accomplishments or your fame. But if you just focus on the work and you don't let those people sidetrack you, someday when you get where you're going, you'll look around and you will know that it was you and the people who love you who put you there. And that will be the greatest feeling in the world. Thank you for this moment."
Kanye then put out the video for Famous, which featured a wax figure of Taylor Swift's naked body in bed next to West, along with several other prominent figures. Further adding fuel to the fire and turning the narrative on its end, Kanye West's wife, Kim Kardashian West, then shared a video that seemingly proved Taylor had heard the lyric and approved of it. In the video, Taylor and Kanye are discussing the song, and Taylor seems to express excitement at being included in the song. Immediately, Twitter users began trending the hashtag KimExposedTaylorParty and began equating Swift with a snake. Taylor attempted to explain the video, stating in a shared note that she had never heard the lyric, "I made the famous." The internet, largely, was not having it. Swift fell off the radar for a full year. She avoided social media, avoided TV appearances, and avoided being in the public eye and perception. She released her album Reputation in 2017 to mixed response from fans and critics, in which she tried to reclaim her narrative and tell a new story. She toured, achieved commercial success, and was nominated for a Grammy. She and her public perception and relationship with the media was on the mend. Fast forward to 2019. Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian West, and Kanye West have all pretty much moved on. Swift releases a statement that the masters of her past six albums had been purchased by Kanye West's, among many other prominent artists, manager, Scooter Braun. In her statement, she states that the ownership of her music in the hands of someone that orchestrated her bullying and torment for years, seemingly Braun, is her worst case scenario. And all facts considered, it does seem like a malicious business tactic by Braun to own Swift's past work and a power grab made by a man over a woman. Despite this seemingly unfair purchase, there is nothing Swift can do. Her past music does not belong to her, and she has no property rights to the music. Throughout her career, Taylor Swift has encountered an interesting phenomenon that I believe is firmly rooted in the identity of our society. Swift has made mistakes. She is a flawed person like all of us. It reads as questionable to us, the general public, when Taylor Swift speaks out, because her actions and words have long been criticized and picked apart for being calculated or manipulative. But why is that? This speaks to the larger issue of patriarchy that exists within the music industry and within the respective psyches of those who are both in it and interact with it. It's not any one person's fault. Patriarchal beliefs exist in our societal systems as much as language does, because it is rooted in our history and has evolved with human development. But it persists, and it contributes to the way Taylor Swift has been pushed from the media's and public's good graces and back into it. So far, we have seen how easy it is for people to remove the person from the narrative the media has given us and think of them only as a character. And characters, unlike real-life humans, lack nuance and complexity. Taylor Swift was overexposed to the public and the media as a result of her social privilege in society as a white person. As a woman, she faces the endless questions and accusations rooted in misogyny for the means of belittling her success. Her career is one that has grown and prospered both in spite of and because of her identity. The most that anyone can continue to ask of Swift is that she continues to grapple with her identity and her place in the industry, and hopefully uses her social privilege to elevate her non-white female peers. Thank you for tuning in. I have grown through phases of appreciating Taylor, being kind of tired of her, and now I feel like I've personally learned how to view celebrities as complicated, flawed, nuanced people as a result of her story and time in the spotlight. Hers is one of surprising nuance. Because of this, I neither advocate for you to be a fan of hers, nor not to be. Hers is just one of many stories that has taught me that grace can be granted to anyone who is still willing to learn and grow into themselves. But of course, I want to know what y'all think. By going into Taylor's story and touching on so much of the drama, and still not all of it, in her career, I wanted to lay out the facts and allow for developing thoughts from there. Listen to some Taylor songs if you want after this podcast. My favorite is her most recent one, and the one that she owns for the first time, Lover. As always, thank you so much for being here. Spread love.